app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. All eyes on the west coast of Florida as they brace for what Tropical Storm Idalia may bring. It's expected to strengthen fast and become a major hurricane before making landfall tomorrow. Volunteers are loading sandbags into cars to help residents prepare.
There we go. You're all set. Be safe.
Be safe.
CBS's Christopher Cruz tells us Tampa International Airport is now shut down.
Officials say the closure lets them secure jet bridges, ground equipment, and any remaining aircraft before the storm's expected landfall early Wednesday. John Tiliakos is the head of operations at the airport.
Tampa International Airport is extremely close to Tampa Bay, and storm surge and flooding are obviously a top concern for us.
All air traffic will cease by 7 o'clock this morning.
A deadly shooting at UNC Chapel Hill. Police Chief Brian James.
The emergency siren sounded at 1:04 p.m., notifying campus of the emergency and issuing a lockdown. Upon arrival at Caudill Labs, police discovered one individual, a faculty member, had been shot.
Former President Trump's attorneys were pushing for a trial date 2 years from now in his election interference case, but a federal judge says it's set for March 4th, 2024. CBS's Robert Costa.
A legal and political collision. Judge Tanya Chutkan rejected Trump's request to start the trial in 2026, telling the former president's lawyers Mr. Trump will have to make this trial date work, regardless of his schedule.
American Airlines has been slapped with a massive fine by the Department of Transportation for keeping passengers on planes while their flights were delayed.
Its investigation found from 2018 to 2021, the airline kept 43 domestic flights stuck on the ground for at least 3 hours without giving passengers the chance to deplane.
That's correspondent Kemi McCormick. Three U.S. Marines who died when their Osprey aircraft crashed during a military training exercise in Australia have been identified. Reporter Scott Maiman.
Locals have turned out for a vigil.
Darwin is a military town. This is where we all come together and put our arms around each other and make sure everyone knows that they're supported.
Those killed include 21-year-old Corporal Spencer Collart, 29-year-old Captain Eleanor Lebeau, and 37-year-old Major Tobin Lewis. Authorities are now working to bring their remains back home to the U.S.
Well, Elton John is still standing, but wasn't this weekend after falling at his home in France. He was taken to the hospital to get checked out. They kept him overnight for observation. He has since been discharged. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. Spectacular. We are on location at our Richland Center studios at WRCE in Southwest Wisconsin, the Driftless area. It is Monday, August 28th. 2023. Welcome into the show. Hopefully you had a great weekend and back at it here on a Monday, the last Monday, Mr. Zommers, of August. Or pardon me, of August. Can you believe that?
It's time always flies.
Time flies when you're having fun, right? I cannot believe. I mean, I know that summer doesn't officially end until, you know, September 20th, 21st, whatever it is, but I always feel like once we get to Labor Day, summer is pretty much over.
Yeah, I think having the entire school schedule based around that means that, like, there's so many changes happening right then as the weather starts to cool down that it's just summer's over for everybody.
Right. And, football, college football started a little bit this past weekend. It was week zero, as they called it, a couple of games. The big slate, including the University of Wisconsin football, starts this coming Friday, and Wisconsin plays on Saturday. So this weekend is really the big kickoff to college football. And of course, you can hear the Wisconsin Badgers right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, including right here at WRCE in Southwest Wisconsin, AM 1450 and FM 107.7, also at our new stations down in Racine in Kenosha, I believe in Amory as well, and if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin Rapids. So those are the stations you can hear the Badgers over the air. I believe you can also then stream them. The college games were able to stream, so you can stream them on the Civic Media app as well.
Which is looking forward to that. Great feature to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Great feature. I'm very excited for that. Big weekend, Mr. Zommers. Were you back in... up north, or well, not really. I know that Manitowoc isn't up north to most people, but were you in Manitowoc or did you stay in the capital city?
I was in town here. I went to Lettuce Jam, the inaugural Lettuce Jam at Wonka's Harvest in Hollandale.
Yes, in Hollandale.
And
our friend Joe Berkland, that's where he's down from, down there in Hollandale, that area. Yeah.
Yeah. There were four bands who played, four local bands. I only got to see two because I was volunteering and taking tickets and helping get people parked and stuff. But what I did see was great. And the crew that works at Wonka's Harvest are all great people. So great. Definitely, when they do it again next year, I would recommend it.
A good time had by all. Speaking of green, shout out to Hank Bray here at WRCE, WRCO, the sales manager here at WR. He's also a set designer, and he got us this beautiful artificial plant to put behind us for those watching on the StreamYard.
So, and a little splash of color back there.
Yeah, a little splash of color. We appreciate that. I had a nice weekend. Spent most of it back here on the RC. Mom's recovering nicely. Thank you very much for that knee surgery. Doctor said a month ahead of schedule.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's running circles right now. So no, she's doing great. She's recovering. So spent a little time here this weekend with her. My sister was down on Friday, Saturday. So a little family reunion and stayed here. And we'll head back down to the capital city tomorrow. Big show coming up today after the break. Julie Lassa, one of my favorite state senators of all time. She is now no longer in the state Senate. She is the director of USDA out of Stevens Point, I believe. And she is going to be here to discuss the Biden administration releasing $28 million to go into broadband high-speed internet right here where we're at in southwest Wisconsin. Going to affect here in Richland County, Sauk County, Juneau County, Iowa County, Dane County as well, being given directly to the Reedsburg utility. So Director of USDA Julie Lassa will be here at, after the quarter after break and talking about that. We'll take your phone calls at the bottom of the hour as well. And then at 2:30 in the second hour, our friend Chris Pauls, CP, I'm realizing he professionally, I've always known him, I've known him since kindergarten, as Chris Pauls. But Chris Pauls, known as CP by his initials in the professional world. So CP will be here. He is with Cracked.com and also a producer here on our show. He'll be here telling us why the 1990s were the perfect decade to drive down a ski hill. How about that? It seems odd, right? But he has a great story. He'll share it with us. And also, we'll kind of ask the question, does your definition of fun now that you're an adult differ from when you were in high school or maybe college or right after high school? As you get older, does your definition of fun change? We'll ask you that in the second hour. Big weekend, of course, in news. One of my very, very all-time favorites, Bob Barker, longtime host of The Price is Right and Truth or Consequences, passed away at 99 this weekend. So, you know, certainly sad to see him pass, but lived a full life and a great promoter of pets and have your pet spayed or neutered. That was his tagline. So Bob Barker passing away this weekend. Tragic news out of North Florida as there was a shooter there. Once again, another shooter, this time blatantly a racist attack by a white shooter on black people. We'll be talking a little bit later on the fact that this guy was Baker acted in Florida in 2017. We'll explain what that means and why he should have never been allowed to have a gun. Also, Donald Trump, his court dates have been set, at least for a couple of them. He will go to trial in Washington, D.C. on March 4th of next year. And coming up here next week on September 6th, he will have his arraignment in Georgia on that of those things. All that and much more, your calls as well. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Julie Lassa, director of USDA, will join us and tell us why $28 million is going to be spent right here in Wisconsin on high-speed internet. Don't go anywhere. Live on location at Richland Center, the Todd Hallbald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires out there this afternoon. Our high 75. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 50. Tomorrow, just like today, sunny 75. Then on Thursday, sunshine with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing so. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 1 o'clock. We are live on location here in Richland Center, WRCO. Thanks to Phil Nee, station manager, the great crew here at RCO in Southwest Wisconsin. Great to be back in the hometown. And it's pertinent that we're here and important because on this Monday, August 28th, we are joined by the director of USDA Rural Development, the state director, that is. She is Julie Lassa, former state senator, and now the state director of USDA. And joining us, Julie, from Stevens Point, is that correct?
Actually, just a little south there in DeForest.
Oh, a little south there. Yes, very good, very good. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for carving time out of your busy schedule. I really appreciate it. For those that don't know, I want to just go back in time just a minute. I mentioned before the break, I first met you when you were serving as a state senator in the state Senate, and my boss, Dale Schultz, was the majority leader and served there. And, you know, honest to goodness, even though you were from a different party than my boss, you always came across that I really had a lot of respect for you, still do, because you were not someone who was a hyper partisan and you were much more concerned about doing things for your constituents and the state of Wisconsin. I would call you a good government legislator.
Thank you. I appreciate that because that's how I always operated. And I think that there are obviously good ideas from folks on both sides of the aisle in terms of policy. So I a number of the pieces of legislation that I advanced, it was wonderful because I was able to work with really good folks from the Democratic and Republican caucuses in the legislature. And we're able to, I think, make Wisconsin a better place. And certainly in my district, from which was the 24th Senate district in central Wisconsin. So
sure. And how long did you serve in the state Senate?
Oh my God.
Roughly more or less.
So, you're really good at, I look young for my age.
You do, yes. So,
at least I hope that's still true. But
in fact, I think my boss used to call you kiddo. I'm like, Dale, you can't say that.
I know. So, but I served in the legislature for, I think it was 19 years. And then prior to that, I was staff person. So I think I have 21 years of state service total. So it was,
I think it's important for people, listeners, to understand because you're not some political appointee that came to this job because you gave money or because, you know, you were a favorite of the Biden administration. You bring gravitas, experience working in government and knowing the state of Wisconsin. How long ago were you appointed as the state director of USDA?
So it'll be 2 years in November that I was appointed by President Biden. And I am so impressed with all of the people that I serve with at Rural Development. We are a small but mighty team here that serves rural communities all across the state. And it's just a real honor to be part of the administration and working with the dedicated public servants at Rural Development here in the state.
Well, you had this release that came out last week, and it blew my socks off because I think a lot of people, no matter what party they might vote for, in general, I think voters are like, what the heck is government actually doing? And they get frustrated mm-hmm. because it's always fighting and never doing. I mean, former Governor Tommy Thompson was famous of saying, you know, there are politicians that want to be and politicians that want to do. And I think, you know, here we have an administration, an announcement last week saying that $28 million is going to be directed not into a bureaucracy, but right into the veins of local government and the Reedsburg utility to help bring high-speed internet, not just to Reedsburg, but through South Central and Southwest Wisconsin. Director Lassa, tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so we have, for the Reedsburg Utility Commission, a $28 million ReConnect loan. And what it will do is be used to deploy a fiber to premises network, and it'll ultimately benefit nearly 10,000 people, over 300 businesses, nearly 700 farms, and 8 educational facilities, all in Richland, Dane, Iowa, Juneau, and Sauk counties. So it is a wonderful award to be able to announce, because this high-speed internet investment is part of a fourth round of funding through the ReConnect program. So it is meant to help rural residents and businesses that do not have high-speed internet services. And it is part of the president's Internet for All initiative to connect everyone in America to high-speed internet by 2030. So it's great to see these type of investments being made here in Wisconsin.
I know you're in official capacity. This is not a political or partisan interview, but I just want to note for the listeners that, you know, Juneau County, for those that don't know, which is in kind of just north of Wisconsin Dells, my boss, my former boss, represented that area, home county of Tommy Thompson. It is not a blue county. It's a pretty red county. And I think this is great because, you know, when President Biden said he wanted to be the president for everyone, here's an example of he's not just appointing or putting dollars into places that voted for him, like the Isthmus of Madison or Milwaukee County. He's putting dollars into rural Wisconsin for folks that, you know, didn't vote for him, quite frankly, or not all of them. And I think it's encouraging, once again, as a sign of good government. You know, as a former state senator that represented rural Wisconsin, the need.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what's, I think, great about this administration is that there is a focus on improving the quality of life of people living in rural communities here in Wisconsin and other places around the country, because it is such a large part of the structure of America. There are so many, not only raw goods, agricultural products, renewable energy, and we have manufacturing that's going on in rural communities. And all of that needs good infrastructure. So there has been a real emphasis on infrastructure and making those type of investments in rural communities. And what we have here with ReConnect and high-speed internet is making sure that residents who live in rural communities, they can participate in telehealth so they can get their medical care without leaving their homes. Students, during the pandemic, we saw that high-speed internet was really crucial so that they could participate in classes while we were dealing with the pandemic. And then for so many of our egg producers, as well as small businesses, I mean, they need the ability to be able to connect with their customers, whether they're just across town, across the state, or somewhere in the United States or around the world. And so there really has been an emphasis on rural areas. And that's one of the reasons why I love this job so much, is because I get to work on some of the same issues that I worked on while I was in the legislature: economic development, job creation, community development. That's all what's going on here in rural development. And we're really, I believe, making an important difference in rural communities across the state.
We're talking to Julie Lassa. She is the USDA Rural Development State Director. Appreciate her time. I know you know this, but for people who might be listening, because we're all across the state, we're in 12 or 13 stations across the state, including Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Eau Claire, La Crosse. For people who live in a municipality, a more urban area, this might surprise them. But there are still places, several places in the state of Wisconsin using dial-up internet or really low-speed connectivity. And all those things you just talked about, healthcare, education, commerce, rural development in terms of economic development, I would say, yes or no, I feel that high-speed internet access is no longer a luxury, but rather a utility and a necessity to simply survive.
Well, it really is. And it's just like, you know, if you look back at the history of rural development, it was part of President Roosevelt's New Deal. And it started with the rural electrification. And I'm a history buff. So I remember interviewing my grandma for this history writing contest that I had to tell. And she talked about, you know, what a difference it made when their farm was connected to electricity for the first time. And I think for us in this day and age, you know, having high-speed internet with adequate download and upload speeds are really critical for how fast the world is working, whether it's for business and commerce, or it's for a local government, or for students, or just people who want to download a movie and watch it on Friday night. It's just, you know, it really has become a necessity. And I think what's important to Todd, before I forget this, is that so when Reedsburg was awarded this $28 million through a Reconnect loan, just like all of the other applicants, they have to serve rural areas that lack access to service at speeds of 100 megabytes per second download and 20 megabytes per second upload. But also as part of that, they have to ensure that rural households that need internet service can afford it. Because I think that's really important. It, if internet service is there, but you can't afford it, it's, you know, does does that really help? So all awardees are required to participate in the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law's Affordable Connectivity Program. So with ACP, it offers a discount of up to $30 per month towards internet service for qualifying low-income households, and up to $75 per month for households on qualifying tribal lands. So that really helps bring the bill down for accessing high-speed internet. And I think what's important is if folks who are having a hard time affording their internet service, if they Google, it's the Affordable Connectivity Program, they can see if they qualify and if their high-speed internet provider is participating in that, and then they can go about trying to apply for that type of assistance so that they can better afford internet service at their home.
That's amazing. Well, Mr. Zommer is our producer and engineer. We'll try to get that this release that you guys put out on our website, our page, so people get more information if they want that, those things you just said. Julie Lassa, USDA Rural Development State Director, thank you so much for your time. You're spectacular as always, and we appreciate you investing in rural Wisconsin.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You're welcome here anytime. We'd love to have you back. That is Julie Lassa. Sounds good. Stay tuned. More on the other side, including your phone calls. This is the Todd Allball Show.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Volunteers in the Tampa Bay area are handing out sandbags in preparation for a potential huge hurricane.
It's great to be prepared. It's nice they're pre-filled versus having to fill them. So it's nice, especially when I'm by myself.
The storm's expected to bring life-threatening storm surge and dangerous winds when it reaches Florida's Gulf Coast. Our Jeff Begay's on a deadly shooting at UNC Chapel Hill yesterday.
Possible active shooter on campus.
In a massive show of force, police at the University of North Carolina swarmed the campus. Officers began evacuating buildings several groups at a time.
One faculty member was killed. A federal judge has set a trial date of March 4th, 2024 for former President Trump.
Trump will face criminal charges for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election the day before Super Tuesday, when voters in 14 states across the country cast ballots in primary elections.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing so. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:33 on a Monday afternoon, August 28th. Mr. Zomers in Madison at the World Headquarters. Myself here on location at WRCE, AM 1450 and FM 107.7, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Here in Richland, Central Wisconsin, the old hometown in Southwest Wisconsin. Great to be here, as always. Is it beautiful in Madison? It's like picture perfect out here today.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Too. I mean, depending on your perspective, in my opinion, it is.
Me too.
You know,
yeah,
it's sunny. Too. People tend to like sunny days, but it's not scorching hot.
Not scorching hot, but not cool enough where you have to wear a jacket.
Well, it's at least this morning it was fairly cool. But for me,
was it? Well,
I am a big fan of that.
You know where I was this morning? I was on the old Mino and the Mayor show up in Green Bay this morning. with Mino and the Mayor talking a little bit of the recap of the Republican debate from Wednesday. So always great to be. Great show every morning, 6 until 8, Monday through Friday, Mino and the Mayor on WGBW up there in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and also on WISS Oshkosh Air Support. If you're not in one of those markets, you can always hear them, listen to them on the app. Simply go to the App Store on either Apple or Android, download it, and go to those stations. Mino and the Mayor, great show, great guys. Enjoyed being on that. Also enjoyed having Julie Lassa, the state director of USDA, on the last segment. What she said is so important about high-speed internet access. And I know we brought this up before, but I think it's worth bringing up again because this is so critically important that we educate people across the state of Wisconsin to this need. And also that there's something being done about it. What do you feel about high-speed internet access in your community? Is it adequate? Do you think more ought to be done? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you this fine Monday afternoon. We're here in Richland County, where part of this money is going to go, because I'm here in Richland Center at our studios. At WRCE, WRCO, we have high speed. In fact, Civic put in fiber optic into this building. So have great internet access here. But I'm telling you, you go 10 miles or less away from where I'm at right now, and there are places that do not have access to high speed internet here in Richland County. Don't have it there yet. And this money that the Biden administration is investing into the Reedsburg utility, $28 million, is going to serve folks in Richland, Sauk, Juneau, Dane, and I believe Iowa County a little bit as well. I could be wrong on that one, but certainly Richland, Juneau, Sauk, and Dane County. And as Mr. Zomers pointed out over the break, if you would like to know, because Julie Lassa said something very important, that it's not just the $28 million investment, but it's making sure that people can afford to have it. So if you qualify via your income or otherwise, and Mr. Zomers just put it up there on the screen for those watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatnot, simply go to Get Internet, all one word together, G-E-T, Internet. So getinternet.gov. That's getinternet.gov. And Mr. Zomers, you said it'll kind of show people if they qualify, walk them through it. Is that right?
Yeah. Application is on that page for financial assistance. Okay. And you can also use resources there or just Google to see which providers in your area are participating in the program, which should be most of them. I know that TDS does. But I don't know how far they go outside the Madison area.
Breaking news. Here we have our news director here at WRCO, Joanne Krulatz. Joanne, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
That's fantastic.
Look at that.
Look at that. Joanne was listening to the show. And here she brings it in. Late break at Richland, Dane. I was right. Iowa, Juneau, and Sauk counties.
Yes.
Thank you.
You were questioning yourself.
Well, I question myself a lot. But that's why there's people like you and Aaron and others that make sure I'm keeping, because we don't want to misinform people, you understand?
Right.
Right. We want to make sure we're bringing people
and
the truth.
This is awesome because I'm one of those people who didn't get internet until
really
midway through the pandemic.
And you live out in a beautiful Blooming Township out
yes.
there. Yeah, not too far from my old farm. So, and let me tell you, it was tough on the farm getting internet sometimes. You had to make sure that the tinfoil signal was right and you had to spit on it. Maybe not, but not quite that bad. But no, in all seriousness, as I was saying before, right or wrong, I mean, there are places that are 10 miles from here where we have high-speed fiber optic that do not have high-speed internet right now.
No, in fact, that's, my neighbor...
Here, come on, right there.
My neighbor had internet. I didn't.
Uh-huh.
And he said he got better reception on his cell phone if he drove to Rockbridge than he got in his phone on his internet.
And for those of you who don't know, Rockbridge is a very small municipality. Very unincorporated, I believe, isn't it? Or is it like a few hundred people, something like that?
Yeah, well, it does have, you know, the Rockbridge store, and it's got a state, it's got a county park.
It has a beautiful county park.
And the old school now is a church that has developed into a daycare center and senior meal site, so it's growing.
It is growing, but the point is, and we places like this all over Wisconsin, these little unincorporated or small villages that don't have internet access. And now, I mean, good gravy, I'm not going to go into it, but I'm trying to get into an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat doctor for my bad ear. And I'm trying to get in. They said, well, the soonest appointment is in December, and you cannot make these things unless you do it online. And the point is that oftentimes now, even places like out here in more rural areas, you have to have internet connectivity simply for basic healthcare.
Oh, most definitely. But you know, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
No, it's a beautiful area. I'm happy. I'm here. I'm in Madison. I can't get in to see ear, nose, and throat doctors for December. I'd probably get in quicker out here, to be honest. I mean, it's probably the truth. A visiting specialist or whatever.
Probably.
Just I need to go see Dr. Bard. But thank you. I appreciate the update here, Joanne Krulot. Thank you. One of the few times I was right. Thank you, Joanne. I appreciate that. So yes, Richland, Dane, Iowa, Juneau, and Sauk counties. But what do you feel about in your community? Do you feel that your internet is high speed or adequate enough? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can also text or call on the Civic Media app, Mr. Zomers.
Yeah, I also want to add that one thing you might not have heard, depending on how loud you have your radio set and how good your ears are, is that originally she said that she didn't even get internet like pretty much at all until partway through the pandemic. So this is a very real thing. A lot of people, and it's not just a bunch of hicks out in the middle of nowhere in a town of like 50 right. people. And even right. if so, who are you to deny them internet access? And one thing that Julie Lassa said, yes, it is absolutely necessary for scheduling doctor's appointments and things like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, even if it is just to watch a movie on Friday night with their family.
Sure.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, nothing wrong with that at all. And I think that we take for granted, those of us who now or have always lived in a bigger city, well, everybody has access to this. And I think it was really brought to light during the pandemic, and particularly for those folks who had school-age kids. Because sometimes it was not just one, but you had two, three, or more kids that needed to get on at the same time. Plus, maybe mom or dad also needed to get on to do their job. And the fact that most homes, many homes, I guess I'll say, did not have a significant amount of homes, did not have the adequate speed available for them to go through something like that. And so I think that a lot of kids simply just, quote unquote, didn't go to class or didn't log on because mom or dad had to do their job to bring an income. Or maybe there was a high school student who had to do an AP course and this was incumbent to get into a college. And so the fifth grader's math class just didn't happen.
Or if it did, they got every other word. It was just cutting in and out.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, how about your hometown or your area where you live now in Wisconsin? Are you satisfied with the high-speed internet quality, or do you find it lacking? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you. You could also text in or give us a call on the Civic Media app. And again, I didn't want to get into the politics of this because Julie Lassa was here as a government official, so she's not going to get into the politics, but I will. And I said this on Mino and the Mayor this morning on WGBW in Green Bay. You have Mike Gallagher, the congressman from up there in the Green Bay area, Republican. I never met him, but he seems like a nice enough person. Nothing against him personally. But he had the FCC chairman up in Green Bay climbing up on a cell phone tower. Apparently they lost a bet or something like that. And so they had the cameras coming. It was a great photo op. And as we say in politics, posing for holy pictures. And then he took the opportunity to tell the cameras, well, I really want to try to bring light to the fact that in Wisconsin, we really need to bring more high-speed internet and cellular connectivity to places like Northeast Wisconsin. And he's right about that. He's 100% right. But what he didn't tell folks in that interview this weekend is that when it came time to vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill that actually brought and is bringing more dollars to Wisconsin for high-speed internet, like this loan here to the Reedsburg utility of $28 million. Congressman Mike Gallagher, and in fact, all the Republicans from Wisconsin who represent us in Congress, voted no. Voted no. Yeah, took a powder. Took a powder, as they say. And that's the hypocrisy of it. They love the fact, and this again goes to something I talk about all the time, is that most of these folks, the Republican Party elected officials, know they're on the wrong side. They know there's a need for high-speed internet. They know there should be dollars here. And they vote against it just for political reasons, to score political points with their base, simply because there's a Democrat in the White House. And meanwhile, unlike some former presidents, Joe Biden isn't playing politics with this stuff. He's putting the money into where it's needed, whether it's a red area or a blue area, a Republican or Democrat area. Down in Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor, Mike Huckabee was also governor, is his daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, former communication director for Trump. She's no bleeding liberal lefty. But did Joe Biden make sure that no dollars went to her state? No, they're investing a bunch of money down their infrastructure in Arkansas. As it should be. Let me say that. As it should be. We should be putting the dollars into this country where they need to be put. Not just playing partisan politics. Let's go to the lines. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Wisco Paul on the line. Wisco, great to have you with us. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. Politics needs to be put aside, excuse me. If you don't end up with high-speed internet, you're going to fall behind, especially the rural communities. I don't have to experience that because I live close to Madison, so I've always, well, since it came online. Fiber optic is a beautiful thing, by the way, but I grew up in the day of telephone poles, and I grew up in the day of telephone poles, which no longer exist, but they ran telephones to everybody's house that I'm aware of. I don't think there was anybody I knew, and I grew up in a rural community that didn't have a telephone, electricity, or none of them. They were considered utilities, but need to put politics aside, and I'm sure if Tommy Thompson was still governor, he'd put him aside. So would your friend Dale Schultz, as far as that Ed Ellison, and there's a whole line of Republicans that would be on board for this. But if you don't get wired up, in my mind, you're going to fall behind, and your streets may even roll up. If you have high-speed internet, you actually have a chance to draw people to your community for work, because you don't necessarily have to be in an office anymore. So that's just my thoughts today, Todd. And I like your show because you just kind of, like you say, get to the truth. No politics involved, basically. Have a great day, young man.
Hey, Wisco, it's always great to hear from you. Thanks for listening. You're welcome on this show anytime. Thanks for adding that. Really appreciate it. Stay tuned. More of your phone calls on the other side. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Back after this on the Todd Lawball Show, on location on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
The Republicans are on the wrong side of policy, on the wrong side of the people.
Wrong side of history.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires out there this afternoon. Our high 75, the wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 50. Tomorrow, just like today, sunny 75. Then on Thursday, sunshine with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Pursue truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing so. Welcome back to Tallyball Show. We are live on location in Richland, central Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, halfway between Madison and La Crosse. Well, roughly anyway, back here in the hometown. Started here back in 1987, July 27th, 1987. A great CBS radio affiliate back then. Civic Media has some CBS radio affiliate stations. I believe AP is now the hourly news here at RCE and RCO. Great to be back here in the hometown. Great to have you along with us. Look, Luke Mathers making a rare appearance there, an early appearance. He'll be with us tomorrow on Tuesday Tangents with Luke at 2 o'clock. But Luke's there at the world headquarters there. Luke now a married man. He seems a little bit even more like rambunctious since he got married. He seems happier, don't you think, Mr. Zobbers?
Perhaps. I mean, I'm sure he's just relieved. I'm sure he's happy to be married. I'm sure
relieved.
He's
That's a good
relieved to be done with all the planning and be like, finally, yes. We did it. Now we can be exactly. People again.
Well, great. It's going to be a great show tomorrow, by the way. We've got Luke Mathers in on the show on Tuesday Tangent, Luke at 2 o'clock. And I haven't decided whether I'm going to include Luke in this or for him. I think I'm just going to start off in the 1 o'clock hour. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, mark your calendar. Set your VCRs or however you want to record us or check out the podcast. Tomorrow, Todd takes on Spectrum. Yes, somebody had to do it. I'm taking on Spectrum tomorrow on the show. I'm also tomorrow going to invite your Spectrum horror stories. I will tell you in detail tomorrow. I've run this up the flagpole of my week in review kitchen cabinet. They tell me that the story is too long to tell on the air. So I'm going to have to edit it tonight a little bit. But I'll bring you as many details as I can after four Spectrum Charter technicians. It'll be five after tomorrow. Multiple phone calls, three trips to the Spectrum office, and now over 2 months at my new apartment, I still do not have the service that I'm paying for. So... Exactly. And, you know, like you see, like on Channel 3 in Madison, other places do this too. You know, News 3 investigates, or, you know, call now, or, you know, we'll help you out. And I thought to myself, well, I could call one of those places, but by golly, we have a statewide radio network. And so I think this is more powerful to bring this to you folks, the listeners. So tomorrow, be with us tomorrow as I take on Spectrum. I'll tell you my experience, and I'll invite you tomorrow to call in and tell us yours.
So you have been paying for it for 2 months and have not had internet access.
Well, I have not made a payment. The bill is, I'm at like $400 and some odd they say I owe now. But I'm like, I'm not paying it because I'm not. You're not providing me the service for which you're billing me.
Makes sense.
We'll tell you the whole story tomorrow. It is quite the story. And I think the thing is, I don't believe I'm the only frustrated Spectrum consumer out there. So we'll invite your stories tomorrow. So that's coming up on the big program. And of course, Luke Mathers as well. So, and probably some more things by then. It's a party every day here at the show, right?
Oh, yeah. No.
Boy, with excited partners like that, I tell you, I don't think I can use effervescent as I describe you anymore with an attitude like that.
What have I done?
Anyway, that's what's
up. It's a Monday, all right? It's a Monday.
I'll give you that. It is a Monday. We're going to come back after the top of this hour, and I'm going to tell you about this article that I read over the weekend, and it really hit me. I'm going to read you at least part of it when we come back. I'm going to invite your phone calls. It's from the Philadelphia Inquirer, a great columnist by the name of Will Bunch, and it was published yesterday. The headline is, "Journalism Fails Miserably at Explaining What Is Really Happening to America." Subheadline says, "Momentous Week of GOP Debate, Trump's Arrest Gets Horse Race Coverage." When this story is not about an election, but authoritarianism. I'll read you the first couple of lines. They stood on an arena stage in Milwaukee under a massive sign that read, "Democracy." The metaphorical 800-pound gorilla that loomed over this strange political event, but was never really discussed. When the dust settled, after more than 2 hours of the first televised debate of the 2024 GOP primaries, nothing. From the rude kids' table outburst, from the impertinent Vivek Ramaswamy, to the doomed efforts by Nikki Haley or Mike Pence, to the grown-ups in the room, actually mattered inside the airy Pfizer forum, except for one thing. All those not-so-wonderful people out there in the dark, a mob that raged and which ultimately ruled. Goes on to talk, we're going to talk about this after the break, goes on to talk about the fact that those of us in the media should not be handling this election or covering it like in past elections, trying to make the argument that this is not just a Republican versus Democratic election or other parties you want to throw in there too, but rather that it is authoritarianism versus democracy. What do you think about that? Ask you that question. Do you think that the media has an obligation? Do you think that we at Civic Media, do you think that other mainstream media folks should be covering this in a different way than in past elections? 844-967-2789. You can call now, but we'll put you on hold because we won't be able to take your calls until the news coming up here. But what do you think, Mr. Zommers?
I think this article is fantastic, and more people in journalism need to be acknowledging this, because just factually, that's what's happening. And too many major media outlets are beholden to donors that care about these things, so they can't get too political or they lose their money. And ultimately, any company that's run by shareholders, the only thing that matters is money right now and nothing else. So they just say whatever it is they're told to say instead of saying they're not pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. They're pursuing both sidesism and keeping as much of an audience as they can.
And look, I've said this last week when we had Terry Bell on. I encourage people to get their information from different media sources. I like what we do here at Civic Media. I like what we do here on our show as a former Republican, now independent. You know, as we say, as you said, I truly believe that we're here to pursue the truth, to get down to the brass tacks and then let people decide for themselves. We're just trying to expose what the truth is. I think that all news media organizations should do that. Not all do.
I'm by no means saying fake news, all media is bad. Right. I just mean need to be skeptical.
And I think it goes to, don't listen, whether it's us or anybody else, don't listen to just one news source, because it's the compilation of everything that will help each of us get to what we believe to be the truth. We try to pursue the truth each and every day. We'll come back and do it. Take this phone call. Also, Chris Paul's the next hour as well. Why the 90s was the perfect decade to drive a car down a ski hill. Don't want to miss that at 2:30. Stay tuned. We're live on location in Richland Center, the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.